Thank you, Alex and Anna. Those are some powerful songs we have sung this morning. Amen. Good to see Bill here today. He's doing well. Keep him in your prayers, and certainly grateful for the opportunity in this spring day to stand up here in front of you and smile. You say a smile is a curve, sets a lot of things straight. So just in case you didn't know that, I mean, I look at Brooklyn, I look at Mary's daughter, and the first thing you see on their faces is a beautiful smile. So everybody smile. Okay, that's very good, very good. You use less muscles that way, they say. Now, if you're going to go buy a diamond, and this gentleman knew what he was doing, first thing he would do is he would pull out a black velvet to lay on the counter so he could put the diamond between the light and the black velvet backdrop. The reason for doing that is that he could permeate that diamond with the light, and with the black backdrop, he could show you the beauty of the hues and how valuable that piece of diamond is. Same thing is true with the Word of God. The only way you're going to really see the beauty of the cross and the beauty of this new creature that God has created and you have become is that you remember the black backdrop. You remember who you were, where you were, and what you were as far as God is concerned. Because as you and I look at the Scriptures, the Bible declares in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous. No, not one. None. There is none who understands. All have turned aside together. They have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned our own way. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:1 says, all of you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins. If you look at the Scriptures and look at that black backdrop, you will see how indeed we are perceived from a holy, righteous God. As human beings, created in His image, if you will, what and how far we have fallen from being like Him. Being like Him. And the purpose of the gospel, the purpose of the cross, is that there is a way in which God has given you and me the opportunity to become new creatures in Christ and to have the privilege and the honor of being empowered to become like Him again. We cannot, will not, and have not the ability in and of ourselves to become godlike. But God has a way in which He has given you and me the opportunity to become like Him again. Again. Man is represented in God's Word as being ignorant. No common sense. It says that we are guilty. The Bible says we have been and we are polluted. It says that we are, again, dead in our sins. And it is indeed, we are dying. Slow, but surely we are dying. It's amazing, isn't it, that kind of a picture? I don't want to get depressing here today, but I want you to see the beauty of what you have become. Did you have just said? This new creature that you and I have been and are now being made in by God. And the beauty of that being a new creature in Christ and what God is doing. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that in Christ that you and I have been made the wisdom of God. We have been made the righteousness of God. We have become sanctified and we have become redeemed. Wow, those are powerful words, aren't they? Think about it for a moment. It's therefore proposed by this book and by the gospel that if and when, even though we may have been ignorant, we can become and have the wisdom of God in Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. Okay? That's pretty knowledgeable, don't you, when you think that in Him and through Him all things were made and nothing was made without Him? So think about that. As new creatures, we have indeed been given God and we have been clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Bible says that many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. We are clothed in His righteousness. It's been imputed. The Bible uses the word imputed. It has been granted to us by God in turn to our obedience to Him as our God. Also, righteousness is imputed by the aspect that it removes from us any form of guilt. The Bible says we're justified, we're pronounced not guilty, even though we are. That's amazing, isn't it? Now remember how we thought before we become these new people, these new creatures in Christ, and now see us who we are now because of His workmanship, what He has done. Now what you've done, but what He has done and granted you the opportunity to experience in your life. Yeah, we were polluted, we were all sinners, but yet we also have been redeemed, and we're redeemed and purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the book says, right? We sing all those songs, don't we? Washed in the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, redeemed, oh how I love to proclaim it. We sing all those aspects of God's tremendous word because that is what has now become the light that has permeated into our lives. The light of the gospel permeated. Now, Satan will do his best to keep you from seeing the beauty of the gospel. He'll keep you blind to the cross. That's what the book says. And he's a master at it. He does not want you to see the love of God demonstrated on the cross. He doesn't want you to see what you have the power to become, that you could become a more than a conqueror through Christ who loved you, that you could indeed rise above the elements of the world and you could be lifted up and raised up and seated with Him in heavenly places. No, God doesn't promise that without making it very clear to us that that is a clear reality. In Colossians 1:13, it says, He has rescued you and me from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son. What did He do? He has transferred us out of the domain. This world domain is darkness. Why? Because the prince of darkness controls the world. Now listen to this verse. In book of Acts 26:18, Paul's given his defense to Agrippa. Paul being called to become an apostle to the Gentile world. He says to Agrippa, this is what God called me to do. This is what He sent me to do. He said He sent me to open the eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light. And from the domain of Satan to God, that they could receive the forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in Christ. What did Paul say? I've been preached. And I've been called to pray to open people's eyes, that they are living in darkness, that they can see the light and be transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, and He is light. They could be forgiven of their sin. They could receive a promise, an unbelievable promise, an imperishable promise of an inheritance of eternal life. That's why I come preaching. Why in the world do we preach anyway? What's the purpose of preaching? Okay, the purpose in preaching is not only to see what we have put off and where we have come from. The purpose of preaching is to shed the light on who we have become. I'm excited about who I am. If that doesn't show, I'm sorry. But I thank God that I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank God that I'm a new creature and that God is at work in me to accomplish His will and His purpose. And when God does something, He does it, and He only is going to be, and what He creates is good. God doesn't make trash. God creates everything. When He's done with it, He says it is good. Wouldn't you all agree that being transferred from the kingdom and domain of Satan and darkness to a kingdom of light is an unbelievable, radical change? Wouldn't you agree with that? Wouldn't you agree that such a change is represented in our theme today, in that term, a new creature in Christ Jesus? Now think about it for a moment. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul declared, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. New things have come. I go into the store sometimes. I go to Quality Dairy and whatever. I'll pull out a big handful of change. And they're looking, you got a lot of change. I said, I know. You know why I have a lot of change? I said, no. Because if I ever get bored, the change will do me good. I want you to see something. Paul uses a unique word here in the word new. He's the only one that uses it. It's from a Greek background, but the word new here is referred to, and it means something so unbelievable, superior in value. Money can't buy it. There's nothing, gold, silver, nothing in this world could buy what this new creature is made and become. It is so distinctive that you can't see it. It isn't anywhere visible. It's not represented in the world or not. It is a divine work of Him, God Himself. We are new. We are splendid, new, distinctive in our nature. We are not of this world anymore. We may live in it, but we're not of it. And it is something and that can't even be compared with. There's nothing you can compare with. Now let me ask you, how many of you find your life that way? Splendid. Distinctive. Nothing can compare with the life you're experiencing today in Christ Jesus. Or are you bored? How in the world can you get bored with the Creator of the universe being at work in you, creating you, making you, changing you into the very image of His Son? There's nothing like it. It's distinctive. And it raises your value beyond whatever this world could offer to you. If a man loses his soul for the world, what is it profit him? Come on, people. This should be the most exciting experience you like to get up every day knowing that God is at work in you and you're going to be changed. I mean that. The Apostle Paul uses this word and then he says creature. It's a noun form in the Greek. And that noun form refers only to that which is a direct creation of God. We are new creatures created by God. We're God's creatures. We're created by God. Think about it. In Romans 1:25, it says that man has exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worships and serves the creature rather than the Creator. What does that mean? It simply means that man worships himself in that which he can see with his temporary things. And they even build images to it. And they even bow down and worship those images, don't they? They worship the creature. The things that God has created for the benefit of man. Everything God created, He created for you and me. Right? Didn't He? Yeah, He did. So isn't it really empty to worship something that was made by God? Isn't it depraved that we would turn our eyes from the Creator to things and worship them? Don't tell me people don't. Jesus even warned us that life does not consist in the abundance of things that man possesses. Didn't he? Yeah, He did. And I believe it's degrading to you and me as human beings that we focus on the things that have been created rather than upon the One who created it. And if you and I don't worship and acknowledge Him as God, then God will give us over to a depraved mind. Romans chapter 1, okay? Remember, God created man. He created us in His image. Let us make man in our own image. And so in the image of God, He created us. All right? We have all sinned and we've fallen short of the image or the nature or the likeness of God. Every time we sin, the Greek word says miss the mark. If you were shooting an arrow and you had a target and you had the center, and every time you missed the focus of the center, every time you missed it, you've missed the mark. Every time we sin, we are not exemplifying how we were created in the first place, in the holiness and the likeness of God. And we allow sin. We've all fallen short. We've missed the mark of being godlike. And so, therefore, this new creature, this new creation become necessary, right? Huh? And God, before the foundation of the world, had already laid this new plan. An elect people, a people he could vision, how he would take them in his Son and in Christ and empower them through his Spirit and through the planted seed, the Word of God, and how we begin to aspire. And Paul wrote to the Colossians and said, I am there because until Christ be formed in you, like an embryo, the seed is planted. The Holy Spirit quickens the seed. We're made alive together again in Christ. We are risen from baptism to sat with him in the heavenly places. But right now, if you will, Colossians 2:10 says, for we are his, God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. For God's workmanship. Ephesians 4:24, Paul said, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Created. A direct act of the power of God that is at work in you. God's desire is for you, the seed, the Word of God, as it has been planted into your heart, to begin to bring and to grow. Every seed produces after its own kind. This seed produces Christ-like people. This seed of the Word of God only can develop and grow into Christ-like people. The seed, the Word of God, can only grow and develop into Christ-like people. And if we are God's creatures, we are then being created by God to be new creatures, distinct, far above what can be experienced and seen in this world. We have splendor because we are the light that permeates and generates into a world of darkness. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. He said, you are the leaven of the earth. Isn't that distinctive? The aspect that we can make a difference in the world in which we live in today. So just think about the element of what we saw in our text this morning and the aspect. Okay? What did Paul say? According to his written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake. You get that? Everything God did was for you. Can you make it that personal? Everything God did, he did it for you. You take it personal. He did it for you. God so loved you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people will cause the giving of thanks to abound to his glory. Can you imagine the grace of God being spread throughout the Roman Empire through the preaching of the gospel? Unmerited favor. You're saved by grace. That not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Not anyone should boast. This aspect of that is mind-boggling to me. That God would give me and allow me to have something I could never deserve. You can't deserve it. You'll never merit it. But God, by his grace, is going to give it to you. Amen? Amen. So praise God for it, okay? Therefore, do not lose heart. For though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Anybody here getting older? Anybody here ache a little more when you get up in the morning than you did 20 years ago? Your outer decay. We're like a garment. The Bible says that our bodies is like a garment. It backs old and it wears out. My mom did not die for any other reason. The doctor said her heart just wore out. Just stop. There's always a time frame that there's a certain element of our life, our garment, the functioning of it, can come to an end. Right? But what's the beautiful power of that? He said, you're being what? Same Greek word. This is a progressive thing that God is doing. Day by day, you are being changed by God into his image and into his likeness. Every day ought to be the most exciting day because it doesn't compare with what was yesterday. Every Sunday, you and I come around this table to remember and to examine ourselves, to evaluate where we were last Lord's Day to where we are today. And it will be exciting for you and me to come around this table and be able to look at our lives and see what God has done and changing us. I don't get bored with my change. I know that God has done a lot of things in my last few years of my life. He's taught me so much I can't tell you. I could spend all time, but I'm not going to. God is at work in me. God is at work in you. You got to have that faith that Jesus is in you, changing you, transforming your life and renewing you. And for even though momentarily we have affliction, etc., but the glory far beyond what? There's nothing to compare with what you have and the life you have right now in Christ. There's nothing to compare with it. Nothing to compare with it. Nothing. I wasn't such a bad boy when I was younger. But I just know this. There's one thing I did not have. I did not have the Spirit of God in me. It wasn't there. And so in that text today, what have you seen? What do we see? God is the Creator, right? We see that we are His workmanship. We are His, that's what God's doing. He's at work in us. He has created us to be new. New creatures in Christ. New means far beyond splendor, value, distinct. We are distinct. We are different. Different. He has created us to be renewed in the inner man into His likeness. When we are being changed in the inner man, transformed, we're becoming more and more Christ-like every day of our lives. And this renewal is experienced in the inner man day by day. You know what it said? So every day ought to be different than yesterday. Get it? Is that exciting? Is that exciting? Is that something for you to get up every day to say, well, what's my purpose in life? Why doesn't God take me? Why am I here? Whatever. You're here because God is at work in you to accomplish His purpose and His will in your life, and He only allows you to remain because He has still work to do in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. You got something that God wants to do through your life. And one thing every one of you can do, I don't care how old you get, you can love me. See the smile? Because God is love, right? And God's Son said you were to love one another even as He loved us. That's one thing that you and I, no matter how old we get, we can always say to someone, I love you in Christ. I love you. Right? Can't we? You bet we can. You bet we can. So all of that begin with a new birth, right? A new birth, being born of the water and of the Spirit, being resurrected to a new life in Christ. And so I say to you this morning, what has become new to you? What is new now that you didn't have before you were born again into the kingdom of God? If you haven't been born again, Jesus said two things. You will not see the kingdom, nor will you ever enter into it if you're not born of the water and of the Spirit. And what's interesting to me, you can read commentators all the way up until the late 18th, early 19th century, and they all believe that referred to baptism. Every one of them. Doesn't matter. They all said that referred to baptism, being buried with Christ in water, raised up with Him, resurrected, born of the Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit that raises one from the dead. As a result of that, you and I have a new covenant. There's nothing like this covenant you've entered into. It's not like the old at all. And one of the most precious things in it is God said, I'll be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins and their iniquities, I will remember no more. I will remember them all. I'll remove them as far as the east and from the... Isn't that distinctive? Isn't that what makes this new covenant exciting? To know you're forgiven? But we have a new priesthood. We didn't come after the order of Aaron. He came after the order of Melchizedek. And He has been exalted and raised up and seated with His Father on the right hand. And He has experienced everything you have. He was tried in every way you are. Yet He was without sin. That's our priesthood today. We have a new fellowship. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And God's Spirit is in me. And it fellowships with my spirit. Whereby I cry unto Him, Daddy, Abba, Father. I have a new commandment, and my new commandment is to love. Love one another, even as Christ has loved us. We have a new way. It's a way of holiness. It's a new song that God has given us. It's a song of redemption. We have a new joy and a gladness, and it's unspeakable and full of glory. We have a new name, and that name was given in Antioch in Acts 11:26. And that name God gave us is called Christian, Christ one. We have a new name. We have a new, and we're looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Wherein dwells righteousness. And that is indeed, it's not going to be like this one. It's going to be completely distinctive and completely different, and it's going to be far beyond your dreams, your imagination. For God has laid in store for all of us something that you and I like just can't even begin to imagine what it's going to be like. Not at all. Not at all. First, 2 Peter 3:13, but according to His promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. And you're going to get a new body. That body will not be anything like this one. It's going to be planted perishable. It's going to be raised imperishable. It's going to be planted mortal. It's going to be raised immortal. The Bible says that when you see Him, you will become like Him. And all of His glory. A new body. A new body. You like this new stuff? Huh? It's yours. It is yours and mine. Let's get excited about who we are. Let's get excited about what God's doing in our lives and what He's doing here in this church and the body of Christ here. Let's get excited of what we got to look forward to. I'm not talking about the dinner over at our annual meeting. That may be what you're thinking, but I'm not. I'm thinking about what God has prepared for me. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you so that where I am, there ye may be also. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. Because in the mansions bright and blessed, He's prepared for you and me a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a joy and rejoicing that will be. And when we all see Jesus, when we see Him, we will sing and we will shout the victory. Amen? God bless you. Get excited about who you are. You are a child of God. And you are His workmanship, created in Christ to become a new creature by His own hands. Thus, if you will, I want you to stand with me, and I'm going to have you sing with me one of my favorite hymns. Why do I sing about Jesus?